about myself, there's no way that I can live without the Lord. No way. God has been so incredibly good to me because 5 years ago, this time, I was just leaving Kessler Institute for Rehabilitation, paralyzed, and hoping against hope to walk again. So there's no way. So when you see me wave my hand, hallelujah, there's no show. I know that God is worthy of all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. There's none like him, I tell you. None like God. Hallelujah. I am so, so grateful for this opportunity. And of course, I thank God and I praise God for the great things that he has done, for the doors that he has opened. I thank Pastor Armstrong for finding favor in me, allowing me to stand in this sacred place. I thank all of you, Shiloh, for embracing me and my family. And I thank this wonderful choir. You guys are just so anointed and powerful. And I know the kind of dedication that it takes to participate in music ministry, and often not too many people say thank you. We kind of take it for granted because it happens so easily. But I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you because I know how hard you go. So today, yes, there is a word from the Lord. And I want to thank my husband first because this man married me on my hospital bed, not knowing whether I would walk again or not. And he has been faithful. He has been the wing beneath my wings. He is the sauce to my ribs and the cream to my coffee. There is no me without him. And I want to thank my daughter, Nicole, because every time she sees me in this function of ministry, it doesn't matter how small or how big, she's gonna give me a peace sign, she's gonna wave and smile. She makes me feel like a rock star. So thank you, Nicole, for your support and your love. If you'll stand with me, I'll read the word of God. Our text today is Joshua 1, verse 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you, as I have said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Just bow with me for a moment in prayer. God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I come not standing on my ability, but God, I just offer to you my availability. I pray that you would be a manifest presence in this place today, that you would use your servant for your glory, and that your people might be edified in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to talk today from the theme of the blueprint for success. The blueprint for success. When you have worked hard and consistently, it's such a joy to come to the end of a thing. And this day has been set aside to celebrate the joy of accomplishing a goal, the joy of completing the task, the joy of finishing. But with all the joy of completing a thing, there's also a little bit of anxiety about beginning something new, because there can be no ending without a new beginning. So if we're not careful, we can easily find ourselves mired down with mixed emotions. Simultaneously, we can experience the joy and the sadness of ending a thing, and the anxiety and anticipation of beginning. Because no matter who we are, and no matter what the next phase of our life will be, we all want the same thing. We just want to be successful. Don't you agree? What's with all the sacrifice? I mean, for us and our families, the goal setting, the hard work, if we do not hope that it will all lead to our success. But what does success really look like? And how will we know when we've reached it? So it can be both exciting and frightening when you're not quite sure what the next thing looks like. And sometimes, when we are quiet and alone, and we don't have our personal cheerleaders by our side, we fear failing, falling short, disappointing the people who loved us and supported us. And yet, we are determined to go forward, to keep on moving and striding toward this uncertain and vague notion of success. Success is the one thing that we have been preparing for since preschool. Before we could master blocks and hopscotch, the inevitable question came, and what do you want to be when you grow up? So we've been conditioned to this thing for a long time. We've been taught to long after it, to chase after it, and even to define ourselves by it. But what is it? As Americans, we tend to define success by how much money we have and the size of our and the location of our home and how much power and influence we have on our jobs and in our community and even in our churches. And everything about our culture tells us that we are worthy people if we wear the right expensive clothes and drive the right expensive cars and live in the right expensive neighborhood and go to the right expensive schools. This is the global reputation of America and Americans, that we are very materialistic and we define ourselves and our success by what we accumulate. But Jeffrey James, who is considered very successful, he's a writer and a journalist. He wrote recently in an article for Inc., and that's the INC magazine, that if you believe success is simply making money, you are setting yourself up for failure. He says, it's strange, but many of the people who think this way are harried, stressed, and miserable. That is certainly worth consideration. But not all of us are tainted with materialism. There are those who define success by how they balance work and family. And they are happy if they can just earn a decent living and spend quality time with their family and their friends. And then there are others who define success by their effectiveness. They go from project to project, and they just like results. They are satisfied when they have produced a product or rendered a service that can serve others in some way, whether it's great or small. Then there are others who define success by how well they enjoy their jobs. They feel successful because the joy they experience in doing their work and the joy they have when they complete the work. And yet, there are still some who just want to make a difference in the world, in the community, in somebody's life. And despite the sacrifices they might make to do it, they think that this is what success is all about. So it seems that this vague and elusive thing called success is whatever we want it to be, right? I mean, it seems that we can define success on our own terms and make it anything we choose. And it seems that the onus and responsibility for reaching success basically lays on each person's shoulders. And for me, honestly, that's a little bit frightening. But God, I love those two words, but God. God has ordered and ordained a plan for our success. No worries. God calls each of us to live with purpose, promise, confidence, and commitment. And that, beloved, that is God's blueprint. Not just for success, but for good success. God provides us with the purpose and the promise, and our part is to carry it out with commitment and confidence. So now I'm going to invite you into the text with me, and we're going to explore Joshua's rise to leadership and what it teaches us about being formed for good success according to God's blueprint. So just to refresh your memory, Joshua was Moses' assistant, and they began a journey to lead the people of Israel to the promised land. Now at some point during the journey, Moses allows the people to make him so angry that he disobeys God, and as a result, he cannot cross over into the promised land. And that could be a sermon all by itself. So when we meet Joshua right here in the text, Moses has died, and God is passing the baton of leadership to Joshua. Moses' death represents the end of a thing. It's the end of everything that has become familiar to Joshua and the people of Israel. See, the Exodus journey was said to have lasted about 40 years, and it's right at this point where Joshua picks up the baton. Now, I'm certain Joshua had hit his stride as the assistant. Like, he knew the ins and outs of traveling, camping with these people. He knew the perils of the road. He knew what to expect. And he was in his comfort zone. By now, it's the end of the journey, and it's a new challenge. The challenge is to inhabit the promised land, and the promised land is success. That's what the 40 years were all about. You know, like the 3 years of the MDiv program and the 4 years of college and high school. That's what it's all about. We are trying to reach our promised land. So reaching the promise means reaching success. So God lays out a strategy for entering the promised land. This is the plan for success because God is not haphazard. God is not disorganized. And God is not erratic. There is always a strategy. And if we are to achieve good success, it would behoove us to employ the same strategy that has already been created by an all-wise God. So come on, let's eavesdrop on this divine conversation between Joshua and God, and we will discover that God's strategy includes a purpose, a promise, confidence, and commitment. We are going to pick up the conversation in verse 2. Now, be assured, if we're ever going to get clarity on our purpose, we must enter into a conversation with God. I mean, prayer is, it will always be, and it maintains, it is the most powerful resource for anything that we can do in life. So here, God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel. So if we dissect this statement, it's here that God clearly lays out Joshua's purpose. He provides the answer to six critical questions in life and journalism. That's my English teacher coming out, so work with me. Yes, he answers the question who, what, when, where, why, and how. And if we can answer these six questions, we can have the details to almost any situation in life that we need to analyze. So what? Arise. Stop mourning, Joshua. Get up. Today we are celebrating. Some of us have been celebrating our accomplishments for weeks, and we'll continue to celebrate for some more weeks to come. But soon, we will hear the command to arise. Go forward. We cannot rest on our accomplishments. God commands us to move. Now, for some of us, that means we will be moving to another level of education. For some of us, Nicole, that means going to another country. And for some of us, we will be entering into the world of work. But whatever it is, God is saying, one thing has ended, and it's time to begin something new. When? God commands Joshua to arise now. So it's now. And you will know, graduates, when your now comes, because the applause will end, the cards and the gifts will stop. And if you are in high school or grade school, your parents are going to stop smiling. You will know when now is upon you. Where? Joshua was instructed to go to Canaan, the land God was giving them. Now, some of us are certain where we will go. We know what school we're going to. We know what country we will live in. We know what career awaits us. But others of us, like me, we're going to have a more Abrahamic experience. We are moving forward, and God is revealing the plan as we go. But we can be assured that God has a specific destination in mind for all of us. Who? Well, for Joshua, it was he and the children of Israel. Some of us will be beginning our new journey with some familiar friends, and some of us will be going alone. Be careful of those who attach themselves to your journey. Let me say that again, and this is particularly for young people. Be careful of those who attach themselves to your journey. You have to know who is on your team. Because there are those who will walk with you, but they won't be for you. Why? Joshua had to move because Moses was dead. And we have to move simply because we have come to the end of a thing. And finally, the last question is how? God instructed Joshua to cross over the Jordan. And so I'm asking you and challenging you, how will you accomplish your purpose? Set a goal, plan your direction, and write the vision. I know we sing it every Sunday, but it's true, it's powerful. The prophet Habakkuk said, write the vision. Why write your vision? Because for all of your planning, life will make its own plans. There will be some challenges both internally and externally that can take you off your course. Some of those things might be sickness or the death of a loved one, the lack of finances. Those are the external things. But then there's some internal things, the things that go on in us, like falling in love and rebellion, growing weary, experiencing a small failure. Many of these things can discourage or distract us along the way. So when you write your vision, you can always go back, see what's before you, get back on track. Some of us may not fully know our purpose, and that's okay too. As long as we are mindful of God and prayerful on the way, God will reveal it. Joshua didn't always know his purpose. He probably thought that he would be Moses' assistant to the end of the journey. But no matter what it looks like, you can be certain that God will always keep God's promises. Verses 3-5, and I encourage you to go home and read the text and let it speak to you for itself. But verses 3-5 assure us of that. God gives the purpose, but God also assures Joshua with a promise. And God assures us that everywhere you walk, I've given it to you. In other words, if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. Because I, God, can do more than you could ever ask or imagine. There's nothing impossible for God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I know it may seem that the competition is bigger and better. I know that there will be some enemies and some conflict on the way. But I am God, and I am with you. I know you have some obstacles to overcome, but I won't give up on you, I won't leave you, and I won't ever fail you. I am Jehovah Jireh. We all know that God is a provider, but literally what it means is that the Lord will see to it. I love those words. The Lord will see to everything that concerns you, every single need. God is Jehovah Nisi. He's our banner. And what I love about God being our banner is it means that God will go to war for you. God will fight your battles. You can trust God even when you can't trace God. You can take God at God's word. And that's what God will do. But God expects us to walk in confidence and be committed to the goal. Three times in three verses, God admonishes Joshua to be strong and courageous. And one thing you need to know about courage is that you will never witness it in anyone when things are going as planned. You will never witness courage in anyone who has a life of ease, because people without goals, people without plans or a purpose do not need courage. Those are the people who let life happen to them. They take whatever comes their way and they are satisfied. But courage is found in people who operate with a plan and a purpose. Courage is found in those whose backs are against the wall. Courage is found when the odds are against you, the pressure is on, and the pain is intense. We see courage when David goes up against Goliath in the Valley of Elah. We see courage when Moses stands eye to eye with Pharaoh. We see courage when Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal. We see courage in those young men and young women who dare to speak truth to power and declare that black lives do matter. We see courage when we have decided not to let our designated zip code determine our destiny. We see courage in a black man's desire to serve his country in the highest office. He had the audacity to believe, yes, we can, and yes, we did. That is courage. And so God reminded Joshua, be of good courage, because in spite of the promise, God knew that there would be some challenges, that he would encounter some giants along the way. And no matter where purpose leads us, we will face some giants in the way. So me must walk in the promise. Even when we can't see it, we must walk with confidence and without fear. Well, that seems a little easier said than done, doesn't it? How is it that we can walk in confidence and without fear? Glad you want to know. The key is in verse 7 and 8. Do a look according to the law. Meditate on it day and night. And don't deviate to the right or to the left. See, Psalm 119 and 11 says it this way. I have thought, and this is the Living Translation. I have thought much about your words and stored them in my heart so they would hold me back from sin. This is where our confidence lies. We develop it in the word. It is through the word that we can walk in the confidence of our purpose and walk in the confidence of the promise. It is in the word that we come to know the love of God, and that perfect love casts out fear. We must walk without fear because fear is such a controlling emotion. And whether it's real or even imagined, fear will leave you paralyzed and powerless. Fear will leave you horrified and helpless. It will leave you anxious and angry. God says in the word that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound and balanced mind. That's the kind of God we serve. So we must not only be courageous, but we must be committed. Committed to the purpose that God has infused into our lives. Committed to live in the assurance of God's promise to carry out God's blueprint for success. Be committed. I charge you in the name of the Lord. Be committed. Be consistent. Don't deviate from the plan. Stay focused. And in the words of the Lord, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God bless you. Well, the promises of God are not just for those of us who are graduating and commencing on to other things. God's promises are yes and amen for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And so today I invite you to know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin. I invite you to unite with a church family if you don't have one of your own. I even invite you today to recommit what you started a long time ago. Because God's plan and blueprint for our success is extended to us all. Will you come? If you're struggling, if you're unsatisfied, if you have that void, that God void that only Jesus Christ can fill, I invite you